Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Good afternoon. You are on Beyond Ears and Eyes. I'm Shemaine Harris.
Liesl Tom, and with us in studio is the fabulous Duncan Mabaso on control, and we have a very colourful guest.
A very colourful guest who's in stitches. She's laughing her ass off, and I'm not quite sure why, but what was that all about? There she goes again. It's like she's got the giggles.
It's because I'm controlling her earphones and I can't hear. If it's too loud, Linda, just kick me if it is.
I'd watch it, you girls. I want you to know I've done both of your charts. I know all your secrets. I'd be a little careful about what you say to me.
Hush, child, hush. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just saying.
You better tell who that woman is that you spoke of.
Okay, with us is Linda Shaw, the very well-known astrologer. And we're going to talk to Linda not only about astrology and planetary influences, but also about Wicca. Mm-hmm. Let's start there, in fact, Linda. What's the difference between Wicca and paganism?
I thought you were going to say Wicca and Christianity for a horrible minute.
Oh, you could go there. You could go there. Please do go there. Go there.
You know, the thing about all of the spiritual languages, and there are an increasing number by the day, is that they are all about reading energy. And reading energy is something that we all do naturally anyway. We will walk into a room and say, what's wrong with you? And you'll say, nothing, I'm fine. And you'll think, okay, well, don't tell me. But we all naturally read each other's energy. What a spiritual language does is it gives you structure and format and the words to understand what it is that you're reading and that you're understanding. Now, Wicca, for example, is essentially the study of white magic, I suppose, and the practice of white magic. And the difference between white magic and black magic is a very, very fine line. For example, with you, Shemaine, I could say, I wish for you to fall in love with George and be happily married.
It depends on who's George.
Indeed.
And what George looks like.
Indeed.
And how much money George has.
Obviously, all of these figures must be taken into account. Obviously. But the point is, that would be black magic, because that is me interfering with your life, your karma, and George. You know, poor old George.
But won't we have consent, me and George?
Then we would do a special ritual based on you, and you would do the ritual and participate in all of that. So if I am trying to influence, say, your life, the most I can do to stick within the parameters of white magic is to say, please send Shemaine happiness and love, or you know, something like that. Then that's white magic, and I'm
so
working.
That's like a prayer.
That's a prayer. And then once I start working with Wicca, I will pick a date on which to do it. I will do a ritual. I will do it under a specific kind of moon. I may or may not dance naked in the, you know, frolicking thing.
That's serious.
You're going too fast. As you answer, there are more questions that I want to ask. So let's just go back to the ritual. Wicca has rituals, so therefore it is a religion. What kind of rituals do you have?
You know, I hate the word religion. It's religion implies... Firstly, a religion, all religions are man-made. And as far as I'm concerned, there is a God, clearly, or there is a creator or a universe or a cosmos or whatever you want to call it. And I am a piece of that. I'm a part of God. I'm a part of the universe. And therefore, I have the powers of a God. I have the powers of a cosmos. What I've forgotten, because I've taken on human form, is that I have these powers. And so what I'm doing with my life, me personally, I mean, you know, you're welcome to do what you choose with yours. Mm-hmm. But what I'm doing with mine is trying to rediscover my powers and manifest them and work with them in a way that is going to make the world a better place. My world, anyway, a better place.
How did you walk towards that discovery or that journey where you're going, okay, this is me, this is what I need to do. How'd you get there?
You know, I was actually raised as an atheist. I've never been to church in my life. My father's rabidly atheist.
That's a good thing, actually.
Maybe it is.
You,
yeah, I've got
you
no
had a clean slate.
background there. Yeah. Sure. And I was a journalist. I was a very cynical, hard drinking, hunting, fishing, and shooting, and swearing journalist.
Ambulance chasing.
Has it changed? Does one ever go from being a journalist to not being
a journalist?
Actually,
you never stop being a journalist.
There
you
go.
You never stop. Journalism. I mean, I miss it terribly. I miss the newsroom and all of that. But anyway. One day when I was at the Sunday Times, somebody told me I must go and interview an astrologer. And I said, oh, one of those boring old idiots. And I said, can't you send a junior or something? Because I was terribly snooty and egotistical. And they said, well, "There's no look around, no one here." So I was forced to go and interview this astrologer. And I was just so fascinated by this woman. I think I spent the whole day there. I mean, this woman was trying to get rid of me. And I said, I have to learn how to do this. And she said, fortunately or obviously, there was a beginner's course starting that night. You know, that's how the world works. And then when I was 100 years old, I decided to have a child. And until then, I'd been doing astrology on my own, just sort of, you know, for my own amusement, really. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to have a child, I can't be a journalist because I'm never home till midnight. So I thought I'd freelance or try something. And thank God, the Sunday Times said to me, don't you do all that wacky stuff? So, because I said I wanted to freelance. And I said, well, yeah. So they said, we'll start one of those alternative pages, which I did, and which kind of got my name out there, I guess.
And it's been going for years now.
And I've been doing it for 25, 30 years, ages, forever. Yeah, as you can see, I'm now older than God.
but cuter than God.
Didn't you say you are God?
Obviously, as you know, God and I are very close.
Okay, when you were talking about the rituals, you mentioned the full moon, which takes us very nicely, you're so clever, into the planetary influences and astrology. So why would you do something during a full moon and not any old night?
You know, even the scientists are prepared to believe in the power of the moon. Because in the old days, in early 18th century England, for example, if you murdered somebody under a full moon, you'd get a lighter sentence. You actually would. It was law. And I was listening the other day to the science program, and they were talking about how they were now prepared to concede. The scientists, I want this heard loud and clear, the scientists were prepared to concede that the planets now affect us. They're now prepared to concede that the planets affect us. So they were talking about, obviously, the moon affects the tides and the weather and our emotional stuff and women's menstrual cycles. This is a given scientific fact. They accept this. But they were talking about planets much further out beyond our solar system, which are affecting us and which are causing tsunamis and tidal waves. And as a result, because we are 90-something percent water, whenever the tidal waves or the ocean tides are affected, our emotions are affected, and therefore we behave differently. Mm-hmm. And this, he was saying, they now have some kind of proof, Lord knows how, that this is manifested through the planets that are way beyond any galaxy that we can even see or count. So I thought, yay!
Uh-huh.
Any minute now they're going to start saying, because of course the original astrologers were astronomers, they were the same thing, and then, you know, the wonderful Christians split it into two sections.
Awesome. So let me just give some contact details. This is cliffcentral.com. And if you want to send us a tweet, go to @cliffcentral.com. Facebook page is Cliff Central. WeChat ID is Cliff Central. And yes, we're talking to Linda Shaw, well-known astrologer, mad as a, I don't know, hatter, almost. But
colourful,
she's not on drugs or
colourful.
Anything. How do you she's know? Not sniffing glue. So that joy of life is just oozing from her. We're talking about the fact that, you know, about the being a weaker or her beliefs. And we have now started to touch on the planetary,
planetary energies.
We'll go with what she says.
Go with what she says.
Yes.
Just to add on to all the contact details, if anyone wants to get in touch with Linda, you can send her an email at asklindashaw@mweb.co.za. And she was scared I was going to give her a number, so I'm very glad you couldn't see her face.
But also, if you have a question for her right now, you can ask a question on either Twitter or WeChat, and we'll see whether we can get Linda to answer that. Don't be too long-winded, and do not ask about your love life.
Well, they can if they like. They just can't say, what is my future?
All right. And you know, what about money? And the lotto, the numbers?
Yeah, okay. Well, except for the lotto numbers. If I knew the lotto numbers, trust me, doll, I would be on a yacht somewhere in the Bahamas. All
right. So why can't they ask about the future? Isn't that what astrology is about?
They can, but if you ask me what is my future and I have 10 seconds to answer, what do you think I'm going to say? Your future is death.
But yes, yes, it is. No, but here's the other thing, though. You, that's that actually really make sense? Can you really tell someone's future? You know, is that possible? Because
yeah, it doesn't
I
make
go
sense
like,
to me.
You can change your mind, you know, so then it becomes...
You know, you're absolutely right. If I have someone who comes into my office and says, okay, right, I want a husband and I want to know when I'm getting a job and I want to know how many babies I'm going to have, that person, because this person has, and this is a very, you know, imaginary person, I'm not picking on anyone, that person I can literally predict every day of her life because she has no thoughts of her own, no decisions to make. She's simply being moved along by life. But as you say, the more responsibility you take for your life and the more charge you take of your actions, certainly it becomes more difficult to be specific. So then what I do is I say, okay, we've got this cycle coming up. These are the areas which will be affected. This is the kind of thing that you're going to have to look at and work with. And, you know, what would you like to look at? And what is, and I can tell you the likely outcome depending on what you think your action's going to be.
Okay.
So certainly, yeah, it becomes harder.
Yeah, so you're here to assist, not here to spoon feed.
I mean, who the hell wants their whole future laid out for them? I mean, nobody does.
Do you know? And then we've got Kodua. I don't know if it's Kodua or Kodua. And he says, I've been waiting for the show. I was born 20 March, 1990.
I thought he was going to say he's waiting all day. I was waiting since I was born.
And what other info do you need?
1990, did he say?
Yeah, it's 1990. So he's
and
Piscean,
he want? Of course
20th
he's
of March. What do you want to know, Kodwa? Is he not? 20 March not?
Well,
okay, listen to me going on
no,
about
no,
that.
No, depends.
All right, so...
On the, yeah. You know when they... Sorry, just as an aside, you know when people comment on the fact that every magazine has a different beginning and end date for the signs? You know, some magazines will say that, for example, Taurus is from 20 March to 20 April, or rather 20 April to 20 May, and some will say 21st to the 21st. And this is because every year the signs change over at a different time. So we all pick an average for ourselves, but when I see you personally, then I can tell you are a Taurus or you're a Gemini. Whatever.
All right.
So if that helps. Sorry. So where were we? 20th of March 1990, and what did Codra want to know? Is he a man or a woman?
It's a man. It looks like a man. And then
is
he
a man or a woman?
It looks like a man. He says, what other info do you need? And he hasn't responded, I ask him.
But just what other info would you need to do a reading for someone?
To do something like this, that's all I need. And a question. Because obviously this pace is pretty rapid. But to draw up a chart for one of you, for example, as I have done, as I mentioned earlier, so, you know, with a couple of words of warning...
and please tell anyone. Little face. Oh my goodness! Please don't.
If you tell anyone I'm a control freak, I will flatly deny it.
And no idea what you're talking about. No idea. Okay, so the date of birth gives me a position of the planets at the on the day that you're born. But obviously, everybody born on that day is then going to be identical if that's the way we work. Mm. So then I will look at the place of birth, the longitude and latitude, and that kind of narrows it down a bit. And then I'll look at the time of birth. So obviously, twins, even twins, are born at a slightly different time. Mm-hmm. And that will affect all sorts of things because the timing is crucial. You know, people say, oh, can I just sort of vaguely say afternoon? No, you can't vaguely say afternoon. And in fact, there are astrologers, one I work with, in fact, who specialize in rectifying your time of birth if you don't know it.
Oh, really?
Because I can't do an accurate chart without a time of birth.
Okay.
But for something like the radio, this is all I need is your date of birth and a question. You know, what do you want to know? So, for example, this guy, what's his name? Kodwa. Mm-hmm. Kodwa.
Yeah. Kodua. Kodwa.
Kodua. And he's born on the 20th. Right. So that's the very last day of Pisces. You're quite right. It is, in fact, Pisces.
Okay.
Now, each of the planets moves around the solar system and around the chart at a different rate. So we all know our sun sign because the sun takes a month to move around the Earth, or rather the Earth around the sun. So the movement of the sun around the zodiac, let's stick to that, takes a month. So we all know what our sun sign is because it's pretty easy to track. The others all move at very different rates and speeds. The moon, for example... changes to a new sign every 2.5 days. So it's much more difficult to keep track of the moon. But you need to know your moon sign, because your moon sign will tell you how you operate emotionally. Hmm. Your sun sign, which is your Virgo or your whatever, I'm a Virgo or I'm a Taurus, your sun sign will tell you about your soul purpose. It'll tell you about how your ego works. It'll tell you about how your will works. Your moon sign tells you about yourself as a child, as a brat, because you know, all of those of us who've had children know what it's like to have brats, and we all have an inner brat. So it's nice to know how your inner brat will manifest. Now, for example, this guy, he's a Pisces. His moon is Capricorn. So with a Capricorn moon, that would indicate that he had a very difficult childhood. He probably didn't have a father. He had to grow up too young. So he forgot how to laugh. He takes himself and his life far too seriously. So a Piscean is a very sort of whimsical kind of person, a creative, artistic person who wafts from one place to the next. But because he's got this Capricorn moon, he feels pulled and drawn to take responsibility for the whole family, to do well, to be... I think I turned my... phone on as opposed to off.
It's fine. Leave it. It's not, a problem.
And a very serious guy. So he's going to be driven to do well.
Okay. Because so, he says he was born in Baragwanath, and will he travel the world? But that is...
travel the world? I shouldn't think so.
He should figure that out himself. So, but also, we don't have to continue
on him
with it anymore.
We've had enough of you, Godwa.
let me be the one to thank you for listening. Let these two nasty bitches go on with their story. Thank you, Godwa.
Someone was saying to me that woman. I can listen to this fabulous, because of course I do want to listen to this over and over again. I believe I can listen to it on a podcast, only I have no idea how to do that. Yes. Could you perhaps explain?
Yeah, 20 minutes after this show,
right?
You just need to go to the Cliff Central website, and go under today's under Tuesday, and then go down below under special guests. You'll click on that, then the show will appear, and then you can just download, share it with all your friends, and listen back to it over and over and over and over
and
over
again.
Ad nauseam. But you know what? Are we laughing about this whole thing and about the predictions and stuff? But you have predicted in the beginning of the year that our rand will take a bluxum.
Did I? And my big mouth.
Yes, and that the possibility exists for Zuma to step down, or that he might step down. So not even quite in the middle of the year yet. So there's some truths in what you are spewing. Saying,
spewing? Predicting. Did you all hear that word? I have my trusty sword, my little wand here, you know.
Did you fly in on a broomstick, though?
I have a broomstick. I have to heal a lot.
A turbo broomstick. With the bench.
So, Linda, when we talk about, you know, your moon and your all the other planets, what does it mean when you say you have whichever sign of the zodiac rising? What does that mean?
Okay. That's known as the rising sign or the ascendant. That's the beginning of the chart. So that's the point at which the equator goes over the horizon, or other way around, I always get this wrong. Anyway, it's basically marking the point at which you were born, the time at which you were born, and that will give you an indication. Those are the three main aspects of the chart we need to look at, is the sun sign, the moon sign, and the rising sign.
I just want to interrupt. Sorry, why do you keep on speaking about sun signs? I heard it was star signs.
Ah, yes, star signs. Well, in fact, Linda Goodman or somebody wrote a book called Star Signs and started off saying, hate that word, hate that expression. You know, I think it's just what people call it, the star signs. But the sun sign is the sign at which your sun is lurking when you are born.
All right.
It's star signs, yeah. Thank you, Liesl.
I'm sorry.
You're quite right. Quite right.
Okay, so what is a rising sign?
Okay, so the rising sign represents your personality. It represents the self that you present to the world. So often when people say to me, so what's my sign? Because I get that all the time, drives me nuts. It's a little more difficult because sometimes what I will pick up is their rising sign. So I'll pick that up and they'll go, no, you're wrong. And although sometimes it depends which part of yourself is more prominent. You know, if you're very soul-driven and very spiritually driven, then your sun sign will shine up. But generally speaking, your rising sign is your personality. It gives you a way to interact with your world, to have your relationships. Your moon sign is your emotional self, which people take much longer to understand and discover. And you yourself will take longer to understand and discover. I mean, for, just as an example, to give you a way, an idea of how it works, my sun sign is Pisces. Pisces is a very shy, quiet, reserved energy.
And that's so you.
And that's so me. My moon, and I have to say that until I was, you know, a teenager, I was very, very, very shy, pathologically shy. My parents used to put me under the table when we went to restaurants to eat. I was that shy. I was
sweetheart.
Yeah, seriously. So, but my moon is Leo, and Leo wants attention, recognition, and big hair. You know,
which and you have big hair and it's fiery.
Yeah. So I had to somehow find a way to work with these two energies. So what I did once I got to understand astrology better is what I do with myself is, for example, if I'm coming to talk on a radio show, I'll walk in saying, Pisces, shut up and sit down. Leo, get out here. I need you. You know, so, or if I'm doing a reading with someone, I'll say, Leo, shut your face, and Pisces, come on, I need you to be, you know, intuitive and all of those wonderful things. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to know which are the different aspects of yourself, because then you can call on them and make use of them instead of just being mishmashed by whatever happens to be around.
Yeah.
Because then somebody will say to you, what's wrong with you? You were fabulous yesterday, and now you're sitting there with a long face.
Yeah.
You know, so
how do, because you've got our chart.
Mm.
Or our
where are
charts.
They? Here they are. Yes,
I don't know. How do I?
So I can give you a, yeah.
Yeah, how do I present? What do I, when people see?
Do you want to know these things?
I do, because when
censor yourself,
you want to know these things in public, do you?
Well, you caution, darling, caution. Yeah, because you know what, I'm terribly private and I am quite shy, but people always think that I am an extrovert.
Yes.
So there's something that I give them that says extrovert.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed. Well, first and foremost, where do I start? Okay. So you're a Capricorn, as you mm-hmm. know, born on 4th of January. We will not discuss any further than that. okay. Yeah. So you're a Capricorn. And actually, you've got a lot of Capricorn planets.
So you see the control freaky thing.
I didn't say it. I didn't say that.
It's just, you know.
What can I say? But the Capricorn energy says, I will somehow find the courage to do what I need to do because I have to do something important. I have to do something worthwhile. I have to be in charge of it. And I have to make a success of my life. I have to be responsible for everybody. Capricorn is driven by every single Christian horror that you can imagine. Guilt, self-flagellation, you know, all of those things. And you will get yourself out of bed at 3 a.m. if it must be done. And you will sit there until 4 the next morning if you must. So there is the Capricorns are the world's achievers. And what they need to learn is to lighten up and laugh a lot more, which I see you managing rather well.
I'm learning. No, I'm learning. I had to learn.
Indeed. Now, the Scorpio, your rising sign, interestingly, is Scorpio.
Mm.
Now, the Scorpio personality, this is where you get your very definitely private energy. No one must invade your space. No one must ask too many personal questions. And you were saying that, you know, you were thinking that to be a journalist must be difficult because you've got to ask people personal questions that might hurt them or might embarrass them. And I said, what rubbish? Of course you must. Mm. And that's from Scorpio because you don't want to be asked personal questions that might embarrass you. So now let's discuss. Kidding.
No, we know where you're going to go. That's all fine. That's really good. Okay. You know, it just needs to be sorted.
Okay. So the Scorpio energy, but the thing about the Scorpio energy, Scorpio is the most powerful energy in the zodiac. Scorpio is the energy of the great witch. So when you come in with that energy, you come in with enormous power. And the question to ask yourself is, how am I going to use this? Mm. Because the majority of people don't know how to handle that level of power and will end up using it to manipulate or abuse. And often what goes with that energy is jealousy, possessiveness. It's mine. And I'm watching your every move and I'm reading your SMSs and I'm reading your emails and I'm checking up on you. And because Scorpio expects to be hurt, expects to be abandoned.
Yeah.
So So once you overcome all of that garbage, which is really boring and self-destructive, and begin to take your power, which I can see you're doing rather well at, then Scorpio becomes the powerhouse, and that's where your extrovert energy is starting to emerge.
Okay.
Because it's saying, yes, I'm shy. Yes, I'm terrified of making an idiot of myself.
Oh, terribly.
But I've got work to do, and in order to do that, I have to get out there.
Now, Liesl.
Oh, you've had enough now, honey. Yes. You see the Scorpios kicking and saying, okay, shut up. It's enough. Now, Liesl's a little iffy about birth time. So I'm thinking you're probably about 10 minutes out with your birth time. This is my assumption. However, Liesl is 21st of September, Virgo. We love Virgos.
Definitely Virgo.
Now, that is no question she's a Virgo. There's no doubt about that. The moon is Cancer, which I'll come back to. But your rising sign, your personality, the chart I've worked out with your time of birth has given me Virgo personality, and I think that's incorrect. I think you're a Libra personality, in fact, which makes your birth time a little later. I'll work out the exact time for you later. However, so if your personality is Libra, and I must say, whenever I talk about Liesl to anyone, I call her the princess. And
that's how people look at her.
That's how people look at her.
Can you please just not make me sound like an absolute brat, please?
Why?
Because I command it.
Leo, hello.
And the point about Libra personality. Libra is the energy that's blessed by and ruled over by Venus, the goddess of love and beauty. So for you, for example, to be single you might as well be dead. You know, you've got to always have a man, and there always has to be a relationship, and relationship is first and foremost in your life. It's primary concern. If I don't have a wonderful relationship, I can't function. Once I've got a wonderful relationship in place, then I can fly. Then I can be whoever. So that's fine. The second part about that is that you have a natural gift and understanding for color, for beauty, for what is worth something, what isn't worth something, for what?
Would that explain why I can't do ugly?
No, you can't do ugly. Ugly would actually damage your soul. You have to live in a beautiful place. I mean, I can live anywhere. Don't care. I would just doll it up with a bit of red paint or something. You have to have class. You would rather have nothing than a pile of garbage. Mm. So you will buy one beautiful thing rather than 50 pieces of crap. So there's a natural class that comes with that. So I'm not saying brat. Did I say brat?
You didn't say brat.
Never brat. So to maintain a Libra energy person is always expensive.
Hmm.
Always. It Ooh. Must be by Ooh. Definition because Ooh. You don't do cheap and you don't do.
The first time my husband walked into my house, we were not dating. We were barely friends. And he looked around and he said, I'm so glad you're not my girlfriend because you're obviously a high maintenance chick. And that was on a lieutenant's salary.
Oh, wow. Shame. No, you certainly are high maintenance. I would have to say that.
Hmm.
And you expect romance. You expect, you know, if you're going to go on holiday, then you want to be in a 5-star hotel in the Bahamas or you don't want to go. I mean, it's not like you're being fussy.
Asking much.
No, I want it all or nothing. You know, you're happy to stay home in your beautiful palace.
See, that wasn't bad, was it? That wasn't bad, hey? So we're compatible because we seem to
you're
be
compatible
into each other's
because
spaces.
You have a Virgo moon and she has a Virgo sun. So her soul connects with your heart, basically, and you are. So that's for normal relationships. If I look for a normal relationship and I see that, and when I say normal relationship, I mean a heterosexual or whatever, but a love mm-hmm. relationship. If I see that, then I think, oh, got to work.
They're fine.
So that's your basic, you know, yummy requirement. I mean, it's not an essential requirement, but it certainly makes things easier. So you two will always understand yeah. each other. Yeah. You'll always get each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get each other, you can work with each other.
Yeah. The other thing that I've heard a lot of was this Mercury in retrograde.
Mm.
I do not understand it. We've got 10 minutes for that because I think there might be some explanation on that. But, you know, what does it mean? Because seemingly it has an impact on our lives. And
it certainly does.
So maybe you can start with the basics and then build it out to tell us where we need to go with this.
She's a Capricorn. I've now got to describe the whole thing.
All right. Condense.
I wanted to ask you while you were explaining Capricorn.
Indeed.
And sorry, this is an aside. Trumaini will come back now. But isn't the sign, the symbol for each sign, doesn't that tell you something about that zodiac sign or that house?
Yeah, certainly does. Well, if you look at the zodiac or the horoscope, shall we say, it's a circle. Although the Indians do a square, but never mind. So the circle is a representation of your solar system. So you say, and I have to say, although this is completely incorrect, the way that we operate is that the sun is the center of the universe, and all the planets revolve around the sun. And we all know that. I mean, the earth is the center of the universe, and everything revolves around the earth. And from our point of view, symbolically, that makes sense because we are the center of our own world. And everything revolves around us. So scientifically, that's a bit off, which I could explain, but we haven't got time. Anyway, the point is all of the planets will move around the Earth in a circle. And so the circle is divided into 12 sections. And each section is called a house, and each house is ruled by a sign. And that's how you get the zodiac signs. And depending on where the planet is at any time, it will be in a house and in a sign. So that will give you an indication of how it's operating at the time. Now, all of the planets, except for the sun and the moon, will at some point in their cycle around go retrograde, which means that they go into reverse. Now, when something goes into reverse, it's almost as if it stops in its tracks. It stops in its tracks, it turns around, it's going the wrong way. So if you can imagine yourself driving in reverse, looking over your shoulder, trying to keep where you're going, trying to keep your car straight. That's kind of what it's like when a planet's in retrograde. It's not quite comfortable with itself, but it can keep going. But, you know, you're driving in reverse and it's not, you know, so it's not working well. So when that planet that's in reverse is in your sign or in the sign of one of your major planets, you're going to be affected. But because it's difficult to explain this to people, you just say, oh, it's Mercury retrograde, everybody's going to be in trouble. So Mercury represents communication and intellect, for example. So you can't remember anything.
I thought that was age.
As well?
That's where I'm at. I'm going, okay, I'm in a permanent.
No, it's Mercury retrograde. We're fabulous.
And your highly personal email that you're sending to Liesl arrives on my desk, and your car breaks down, and your computer packs up and freezes, and your message that you had carefully prepared to tell your lover about why you're leaving him comes out as blurted horror movies. And so basically anything to do with relationships, communication, movement, travel, your luggage ends up in Guatemala and you end up in Spain, in Rio. So all of those things are affected. So, and this happens with Mercury specifically three times a year. Now, the way of knowing more or less where Mercury is, whether it's in your house, is that Mercury is generally in the same sign as your sun sign.
Right.
Your Mercury, rather, not the Mercury. So if someone says at the moment Mercury is in, where the hell are we? It's in Taurus, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
I think it finished.
It's in Taurus until the 22nd. What's the date today?
Today's the 24th.
Oh. Keep up, Linda. Okay. So then it's now in, no, it's still in Taurus.
Is it?
But yeah, it went direct. It's no longer retrograde since the 22nd. So it's now direct.
So it's went forward again.
So we've moved forward again. But it's still, you know, we're still wobbling. We're still wobbling and getting used to the forward motion. So this happens three times a year for 3 weeks at a time. So that's 9 weeks of the year, Mercury's in retrograde. So the way to work with it, and irrespective of what sign it's in, the way to work with it is to think, okay, my intellect is no longer functional. So therefore, I'm going to go right brain. I'm going to go intuitive. I'm going to trust my gut. I'm going to get creative. That way, you work with Mercury in a way that you excel, in a way that it works for you. And also, I'm not going to send personal messages or get married or divorced or sign contracts. You know, when people say they're getting married during a Mercury retrograde, I think, oh, okay, let's do some rituals here. Let's get out the wicker.
But one doesn't know these things.
I know.
You know, so you don't know that you're overly emotional because there's some planetary movement keeping you back or turning you back.
Would you tell someone that, Linda?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, not if the wedding invitations have been sent out and the date is set and the dress is bought. Then I say, well, let's try and work around this and see how we can maximize the good energies. But certainly if things can be changed, you know, it's like if somebody says, what do you think of my haircut? You must say fabulous because it's too late. But if you say, shall I cut my hair all off? I'll say perhaps not. You know, so you know.
But if you're a good friend, careful. You're going to say no. That's a shite.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You'll never do that.
No, because what's the point of making someone lose confidence if they've already cut their hair off? It's too late. You say it's fabulous. We could. What about a hat?
No. There you go. There you go. That's the part you want to go to. What about a hat?
Yeah. And at the moment, interestingly, Mars is retrograde, which is even more difficult than.
Is Mars conflict.
Mars is conflict, it's competitive energy, it's anger, it's passion. So all of these things are muted. So there's frustration. I'm sure the traffic's worse than usual. People are hooting at each other because they don't know how to express their anger. They don't know how to express their creative ability. They don't know how to express their passion. It's sort of squashed in a box.
Until when is it in retrograde? Yeah, and then maybe you can tell us how to work with it for the next month or so.
Yes, indeed. That's until actually the end of June. So we've got another whole month of it, I'm afraid.
So of being angry and not knowing how to
not
vent.
Well, that's the negative scenario.
Mm-hmm. Give me the flip side, because I was telling Shemaine earlier, she was, you're very hard on yourself, darling. So no, she was once Capricorn. Again saying that she's this. And I said to her, no, I'm going to lead Linda into a conversation that explains to you that there's always a flip mm-hmm. side. And there you did it without me saying, you are so fabulous.
Am I you not? Guys are so feeling yourselves right now. Get on with it, Linda. Just go with that. Give us the reason why we should be watching out for this retrograde thing that's hitting us until June for a month and a half. July.
Okay, so she's playing mom and telling us what to do. This is so Capricorn.
You love me.
The world would be in chaos without Capricorns, let me assure you. Okay, so the Mars energy, if we can use it in terms of developing our romantic energy, developing our creative energy, then we are working with a different side of it. We're working with the side of Mars that is usually muted and suppressed. Mm-hmm. So if you're focusing, when you're starting to feel frustrated, for example, and the idiot next to you is driving incredibly badly, do some light breathing and think about, I wonder what's going on in that guy's head. Or I wonder what color I'd like to paint my bedroom so that it would bring out my lover's most passionate thoughts. Or, you know, whatever. Take yourself to a creative place or a source of passion, or start thinking about what is my passion. So it's all about your thoughts, really. As long as you have an awareness of your thoughts, you can change them.
Is it a good time to start relationships now?
Hell no.
Okay.
So is it ever a good time?
No, let me.
Within the next month and a half, I'm talking about.
It's not a bad time to start. Just that the person that you meet, specifically men, because Mars is a very male energy and it's you know, they're going to appear much gentler and softer than they actually are. So just keep that in mind.
Ladies, hold off until after July.
Until after June. From the 1st of July, we're clear.
Okay.
And yeah, or else just enjoy the next 4 months of this very sweet guy who suddenly turned into a gorgeous soft lamb before he turns back into a gorilla. You know, either or.
And what about the boys? What will the boys get? Because Duncan is sitting here.
The boys will get a meek and well-behaved girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You know, and they wants to please them,
and they'll know the difference, huh?
After June,
Linda, I want to ask you about planets returning, like Saturn returning. What does that mean? Why are people so freaked out by it?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we have all of, in astrology, we measure life in cycles. And the planets, as I say, move at different speeds. So Saturn, for example, is a very, very important planet. Saturn will take 28 to 29, depending on the year, years to get right around the chart or right around the solar system or the zodiac. So when it returns to its original place when you are 28, 29. And when I say 28, 29, it's because, of course, like any other planets, it's going retrograde, forward, back and forth, before it actually settles and then moves on. So you actually have a period between 28 and 30 where you are experiencing what's known as the Saturn return. The Saturn has returned to its original place. And during that time, you are tested more horrifically than you can ever imagine. You ask anyone about those years and they will have a story. You either get married, divorced, your parents die. Something. The point of it is to force you to become a grown-up. In astrology, you're not considered an adult until you're 30, until you've been through your first Saturn return. And during those years, you will have to do something that forces you to take responsibility for your life. And those people who are drug addicts or, you know, whatever, who don't want to take responsibility, who've run away from their children and left them to be reared by someone else, those people are going to be in real trouble. Mm-hmm. If you've been working on yourself, obviously you manage it better, but no one escapes. You know, you will battle. It's a difficult time. So there are different returns for every planet. Every planet returns to its original place. So Mars is every 2 years.
Mars is aggression.
Mars is aggression. Yeah, exactly. Jupiter is every 12 years, which is your luck cycle. Every 12 years you go into a luck cycle. So
Yeah. And I want to continue, and I know I'm sitting with a pen in hand, but we need
but
to go.
But she's pointing at me.
We need to go. I'm so sorry. It felt like this just went so fast, and we didn't touch anything, but we are out of time. And Linda, so thank you very much. It was really fabulous to have you here, isn't it, Liesl? You in your
element.
It was
great fun. No, we had fun, and I think that's what we set out from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing next? What are you doing next?
Well, we're not quite sure, but Liesl wants to get someone in who speaks to aliens. But give us your email address so that people can get in touch with you. What's your email address? And on that note, we're going to say goodbye.
What, on a one-to-one basis?
Yes, on a one-to-one basis.
That's my email. Yeah, she's got my email address. The
you must read it. I'm showing it to you in case you forget.
I must read it. Ask Linda Shaw is one word at mweb.co.za.
Yay.
Please do
thank
send me.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you
for listening. Liesl, I'm out. What about you?
I had a good time. Thanks so much, Maine. Thanks, Linda. And thank you, Duncan.
You the sweet fabulous. Thing.
We didn't look at his chart, did we?
No.
This is CliffCentral.com.